providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in time for the second half of the Cortland Economics Report. Political. I want to say that we're going to talk about what Big Al thinks are the two most important issues that are going to be facing the United States this next year, unfortunately, during a progressive administration. One of them is Russia and one of them is China. I think China is going to be huge. Russia is something that Jason Kilmer, our guest, has an awful lot of experience with, as does Jimmy. You guys, what do you think is going to happen in, regarding America and Russia in this next year?
Jason, you go ahead first.
Absolutely. So what we're seeing from Russia is that they are rejecting the status quo that has sort of existed as it related to the different security stances of European countries. What do I mean by that? Look, the list of demands that they released would essentially preclude any other additional countries from joining NATO, but would give de facto foreign policy autonomy to the areas within both Georgia and Ukraine that they have either already effectively annexed or are threatening to. And so what we're seeing is a Russian rejection of the status quo. Where that gives me heartburn, right, is not just that Putin poses an imminent threat to European stability with the military buildup, but that this administration bent over backwards to try to convince them to come along on some of these multilateralist projects. When the East Coast pipeline in the United States shut down, or when our food supply was targeted by Russia-based actors, when we thought to hold them accountable for some of the other past hacking, when we gave up on enforcing the Nord Stream 2 sanctions, these were concessions, calculated concessions, to try to induce a change in Russian behavior. And what did Putin do? He stared at that and realized he could up the ante even further.
You know, Jason, I agree completely with you on these positions. And what is a lot of people do not understand, the Russian psychological mentality is, you know, a Russian foreign area officer I spent in Russian linguist, I spent many, many years working the problem. And people do not understand. The Russians look very strategically in a chess game, almost like the game of Risk. And when they're looking at Crimea, they know the Black Sea Fleet was critical for their year-round ability to actually protect Kappa anywhere in the world, the only non-frozen port in wintertime that they had. So they had to take Crimea from a geographical standpoint. And I actually got in arguments with people in foreign policy discussion at the University of South Carolina explaining that, you know, Eastern Ukraine is essential geographical route, supply route, line of communication to sustain Crimea. They will go, and this was 6 years ago, they will push on that effort. And many of the experts, even Russian people that were there, said, no, this is not it. And what we're seeing continually with a weak U.S. Policy that fails to understand their objectives is a continual push by the Putin regime in order to consolidate itself and absolutely separate itself from any Western ideological principles or powers. And it makes it very challenging if you do not understand and look at the problem as they see the problem. And I see right now they're pushing it. NATO's having a very difficult time without U.S. support, even though Jan Stoltenberg, the chair right now, is trying to push agendas to get more tension and pressure. If the United States and the military and the entire DOD complex does not support that, Europe really has limited ability to influence it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the Secretary General, right, is when I read his statements, they're as good as they can be given the shifting sands underneath his feet, right? So what I tell people is, very often what we're hearing from this administration, you talked about, right, the Black Sea, and if you think about the moves that Russia's made over the past X amount of years since the invasion of Ukraine, treating the Sea of Azov essentially as their own, you know, what has been called a Russian lake, and then harassing ships, and then trying to spoof the coordinates of U.S. and British ships, they will take these aggressive actions, and then we'll run one patrol through, and it'll seem like activity. Right, and we'll see headlines, tensions rise or tensions cool. Underneath it all, though, it's not changing anything fundamentally. What Putin has done in the past 13, 14 years is invaded two countries. And he has taken de facto sovereignty. If you just think about the Crimean Peninsula and let's say the two parts of Georgia that he took, that's about 2.5 million people. Well, historically, that's not a small pace of marching west. And so what I try to tell people is I say, all of the things that seem like real politic in the short term are being revealed as insufficient. And I think that's where we're finding ourselves at a breaking point, where these fictions of action on behalf of the West are getting revealed in very uncomfortable ways.
Jim, I got a question for you real quick. If I can just jump in here for a second, Jimmy. Jason, I got a question for you real quick, and that is Russia, at least here among pundits on the West Coast of the United States, really is not nearly first and foremost as is China right now, which we're going to talk about in the second in the next segment. China is very, very much in the forefront right now with the situation with Taiwan, et cetera, and with the potential Chinese involvement in the COVID virus. Russia seems to be somewhat under the radar right now. Why do you think that is, at least in the press?
I think it's twofold. One is just from a sheer economic perspective, we consider Russia a declining power. And I think there's a fault in that analysis because I think that makes them more dangerous, not less. But also because we kind of understand that the conflict that will shape world affairs, not just European affairs, is this rising power China that is, you know, the historical parallels between other rising powers that are engaged in both expansionism, an internal state-making process, which is what we're really seeing as these sort of continues to feed a new national narrative, bringing in elements of Confucianism, et cetera. So I think that's the argument we're primed for. For a decade, we've talked about the pivot to Asia. And quite frankly, overall, it's just because I think China does pose the bigger threat, just maybe the less immediate one.
You know, my perspective on Russia, it is declining. Demographically, it's declining. They still carry a large, you know, we subsidize through cooperative threat reduction. We subsidize their ability to reinforce and improve their nuclear weapons systems, unfortunately. Through DITRA, Defense Threat Reduction Agency, and some of the non-lucrative funding. At the same time, they do have less ability to, in many ways, to influence outcomes, though what it appears to me is we are allowing them, actually, not only we, when I say we, I mean collectively the West, the Western Europeans, the United States, allowing the Russians to have more and more influence as we see more and more, not only territory, but diplomatic influence to Russia. And the unfortunate reality is that continental Asian, if you're looking at it again from a geostrategic perspective, if you have two very influential, powerful entities in that Asian continent, it becomes very problematic in the long term. From my perspective, not a direct correlation, but what we saw in World War II with Russian-Japanese types of influence, if we do get into conflict, it makes it very challenging. And what I see is this mistaking blunder towards conflict as we allow, through appeasement and negotiation, to continue on. And we only have about 15 or 20 seconds left.
Yeah, we do only have about 15 seconds. So, Jason, just let me see. Let me go in this direction. I am very, very concerned about China. I've had a lot of experience with the Chinese business community over my career. I'm very, very concerned about China. And getting into that, the reason I'm concerned about it is because I am firmly convinced that China is playing a major role in the COVID situation, has played a major role, I guess I should say, in the COVID situation in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back with Jason Kilmer. Stick around.